I want to talk today about a few habits that we need to establish to live a godly life. What is a godly life? And how is that achieved? These are important questions. As believers, we're called to live sanctified lives. Sanctified lives are those lives that are fully surrendered to the Lord. We know that this is God's will for us and that He's working in us. He has a purpose in our lives. But we have a responsibility in that process. What we habitually do has an influence on whether we will have a godly life or not. I'm going to give you 7 habits that will help us in our pursuit of godly living. What is a habit? First of all, I'd like to define what a habit is. Do you know there's some people that's establishing some really bad habits right now? With the pandemic, there's, for some people, they use that as an excuse to not be in God's house. Now, we know in Hebrews it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And even the more so as you see the day approaching. What day? The coming of the Lord. We know that His coming is nearer today than it's ever been. And so we should even be more interested in being in God's house. For some, they've used it as an excuse to stay home. Establishing bad habits. And once the bad habit's been established, it's really hard to break. You ever tried to break a bad habit? You know what I'm talking about. Bad habits are hard to break. A habit is a recurring and often subconscious pattern of behavior that is acquired through frequent repetition. A godly life is one that is no longer seeking satisfaction through a sinful lifestyle, but now is surrendered to God and His will. Our first habit for a godly life is a life of prayer. Prayer. We see this was modeled by our Lord Jesus. The disciples and the crowds didn't understand why He withdrew at certain times when there was so much more He could have done. But He withdrew Himself because He knew that prayer was an important priority in His life. In Mark chapter 1, 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, He left the house and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Luke 4, 42, when day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for Him and came to Him and tried to keep Him from going away from them. You see, prayer isn't just for promoting godliness. It isn't just merely occasional petitions offering in times of trouble or need. Is that how you handle prayer? Do you only pray when you have trouble or you're in need? Is that how you handle prayer? Prayer should be a daily conversation with the Father. To all you spouses, husbands, and wives, what would you think if they went all day and didn't say anything to anybody? What if you didn't talk? Pretty soon you'd say to your spouse, what's bothering you? What's the problem, right? Isn't that what you'd say? I wonder how many times Jesus would have to ask us if He didn't talk. What's bothering you? How come you didn't talk to me today? Are you mad at me? Are you angry? Why haven't you talked to me today? How often do you talk to the Lord? prayer. Talk to him. He misses you. He loves you. We're going to tell you how to talk to him. Should be a daily conversation. And you know what? This should do, it should spring from your heart because you love him. You love him. You're grateful for who he is. You're grateful for what he does. It is not a duty. It is a delight to pray. I like talking to him. It's real easy. It's simple. Just talk to him just like he's right here. Right here. Just talk to him. I'll tell you how we can do that. Jesus' disciple observed that his prayers were very different from the ritualistic prayers that were so common in that day. He spoke personally with his Heavenly Father. It prompted them to ask him to teach them how to pray. So, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. We'll find here in Matthew chapter 6, there's three things done in secret. It's not my message today, but there's three secret things. The first secret is in your giving. Let it be a secret in the way you give. Don't proclaim and let everybody know that you gave X amount of dollars to so-and-so. That should be done secretly in your alms or in your giving. That's the first secret that we find here in chapter 6. The second secret has to do with praying. Verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. I say to you, they have their reward. They're enjoying their reward because that's all they're getting. A pat on the shoulder and a hi, how are you? And that was a great prayer, Rabbi. That was beautiful. Jesus said, behold, that's their reward. That's all they're getting. So they might as well enjoy it because that's all they're getting. There is no reward in heaven for them. They're hypocrites. That's what he called them. Don't be like the hypocrites. They have their reward. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and then shut the door. Boy, we'd have trouble in our closet at home. I might be able to squeeze in the closet, but there wouldn't be no shutting the door. So what does that mean? When I go to the Holy Land in February, I'm going to show you what it means when I come back. I'm going to purchase a prayer shawl. You don't know what a prayer shawl is? You've seen them already. I'm going to get one. And they actually put them over their head. And that's closing the door. Why do you suppose they do that? Why do you put the prayer shawl over your head? Get rid of distractions. Exactly. The Lord says, when you want to get alone and talk to me, get rid of the distractions. If your phone rings off the hook, take it off the hook. Take it off the hook. Are you listening to me? Because this is a special time for you and me. So take your phone off the hook if it rings off the hook. That's what he's saying. He said, close the door. Get rid of the distractions. Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. Go someplace where you won't be distracted. You see, that's why churches always had stained glasses or distorted glass so that you don't need to see what's going on outside because that would cause a distraction. Paul said, I'd rather you serve the Lord without distractions. See? So that's to be done in secret. Praying should be done in secret. Enter into the closet, there we are, and close the door. Pray to your Father which is in secret. Your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. What's a repetition? The action of repeating something that has already been said or written, a thing that is repeated. Let me say that again. The action of repeating something that has already been said or written. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen. They think they wish they'll be heard for their much speaking. But not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you even ask. He already knows what you have need of. So if you think you're going to try to impress the Lord with your fancy speaking, forget it. Just tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. That was an old song, the Royal Telephone. Remember that? He's on the main line. Just tell him what you want. That phone's never busy. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now the Lord has given a prayer that should have these ingredients. Now here's the funny thing. The Lord just got done saying, do not use vain repetitions. Then he gives a sample prayer. And then what do our churches do? They take the Lord's prayer, and what do? And they repeat it every Sunday. Do not use my prayer as repetition. He just got done telling you that. It isn't rocket science. Why can't we get it right? Are you listening to me? Prayer should never be repetitious. Doot. Three little angels around my bed, one to sing, one to pray, one to carry my soul away, amen. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Boom. And we're still praying like that, and we're 67 years old. And we still pray that way. Hello? Prayer needs to come from where? Your heart. Tell God what you need. I'm angry, I'm mad at you. Tell him. People say, how can I pray from your heart? When I visit people and they say, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you was in a house with fire, do you think you could holler for help? Yes, you could. Well, then do the same thing with the Lord. Holler for help. It's real simple. When Peter was sinking, he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out. And he got out and started to walk on water. Jesus wasn't the only one walking on water. Peter walked on water. That's what the Bible says. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, he sank. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the key. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look everywhere else. Look at Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of him. Not for a moment. So our Lord gives us the ingredients to a prayer. It's real simple. Anybody cooks knows what there's some ingredients. You take a pinch of this and a pinch of that. How about it, Joyce? A pinch of this and a pinch of that. How much? I don't know. You just, you know, it's a little of this and a little of that. What the Lord is saying, okay, I'll give you a sample of what a prayer should consist of. First of all, he says, all right, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I've got a lot of things to cover. After this manner, he said, you don't have to do it exactly like this, but after this manner, he said, your prayer should have this ingredient in. Therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That tells me all I need to know. First of all, I don't start out by saying, Lord, give me. Lord, I need this. Now, if you're in an emergency situation, that's okay. But if an emergency is not the situation, you need to start out with praise to our Heavenly Father. Father, you're beautiful. You're precious. You're lovely. All these years, you've been so faithful to me. You've given me things I've never deserved. I made some bad choices, and you still love me. That amazes me. And you still want to listen to me? You still think I'd make a good pastor? Check with my classmates. They laugh, and I think I'm a pastor. I tell them, I said, just imagine what he could do with you if he would look what he did with me. You still interested in me? I made a lot of bad decisions. You still want to use me, huh? Well, the only thing I can tell you is I'll give it my best shot. Start out with praising him. Praise him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see what he had to say before he started to say, give me? Verse 11, give us this day our Sunday only bread, our daily bread. You see, there's the daily communication. Every day, talk with him. Have a talk with him every day. Don't just plug in on Sunday. Plug into him every day. Plug in every day. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and amen. That's the ingredients of the prayer. Don't use it repetitiously. You can add, subtract, or whatever you want to do with that prayer. Just have some of those ingredients. Those ingredients will work. If you want a good prayer, those are good ingredients. That's what he's saying. This is what should be involved in your prayer. But he started out by saying, don't do it repetitiously. Don't do that. Don't do it repetitiously. Don't do it. Okay, we've got to move on. We've lived in a world full of temptations, trials and heartaches and burdens and sin. We need to have a prayer life. A prayer life needs to be our priority. It keeps us connected to the Almighty Lord and sensitive to his will. Whatever we do will be accomplished on our knees. Let other people say and do or so we'll talk about you, but I'll talk about you on my knees. We need to submit to the Lord and give him our time and listen for his instruction. Came across this little poem a long time ago, Guard Your Heart. I guess it's a song. What appears to be a harmless glance can turn to romance. Homes are divided, feelings that should have never been awakened within, tearing the heart in two. Listen, I beg you, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure. Don't give it away. Guard your heart. Guard your heart as a payment for pleasure. It's a high price to pay for a soul that remains sincere with a conscience clear. Guard your heart. The human heart is easily swayed and often betrayed. At the hands of emotion, we dare not leave the outcome to chance. We must choose in advance or live with the agony. Such needless tragedy. Second one, faith. Faith. Psalms 103:19 says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. God controls everything, not only what happens, but why and how it happens. His sovereignty is our firm foundation for our belief and trust in him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, offers this advice, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your paths straight. You see, the only other option to faith is fretting. You see, a godly life is one that steps beyond worry. If God's sovereignty and we know he rules over all, we have no reason to be worrying. The evidence of our faith is the absence of worry. You get that? The evidence of our faith is the absence of worry. Trust in the Lord. Build an intimacy with him. Talk and listen to him. And then you need to respond in obedience. Thirdly, you need to read God's word. Meditate on the word of God. Read God's word. The psalmist said, when I remember you in my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Psalms 63:6. If you have a hard time sleeping, get up and read God's word. I know some of you do that. Meditation includes reading scripture. Think about it. Think about the passage. Read it and think about it. How can I apply that to my life? What is God saying here? What is he asking? Ask him questions and surrender any issues that's bothering you. Surrender them to him. He brings to mind things as you look into the scripture. You see, looking in the Bible is like looking in the mirror. You look in the mirror and you say, oh, what's that? What is that? That's another brown spot. I remember my dad and mom having them. What are them? Oh, they're liver spots. Well, I don't like them. They're ugly. What is that? Another mole growing. What's that? A skin tack. Well, that's a dumb place for a skin tack to be growing. I don't like them dumb things. Are you getting the picture? When you read God's word, God says, there's certain things that I don't like what you're doing. I don't like that. That's why I want you to read my word, because I don't like some of those things you're doing. Stop it. Oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. I'm sorry, Lord. I'll try to do a better job. I'm sorry. I didn't know that bothered you. Sometimes God's got to take other people to tell you, because you just don't get it. As we focus on the Lord, worries and concerns will drift away. Our minds will be freed from the contamination of the things that do us no good. Psalms 119, 133 should be our prayer. Establish my footsteps in your word and do not let iniquity have dominion over me. Meditation keeps us alert and sensitive to whatever God wants to do in our lives. It's why it's so important to set aside time to be alone with him in his word. As we read and think about what the Lord says, he speaks to our hearts. If we want God to fill our minds with his word, we must guard against letting the world dominate our thoughts. Don't let the news dominate your thoughts. It's easy to be occupied from morning and evening with the things of this world without giving much thought to the Lord. Take time to be alone with the Lord and meditate on his word. It's very essential if we want to live a godly life. Each day we must choose whether to carry the Lord or the world with us. You'll be better off carrying the Lord with you. Number four, obedience. Moses told the nation of Israel, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth. Deuteronomy 28:1. We walk on a higher level than the world when we live in obedience to our Lord. It's not a matter of looking down on others, but it's choosing to live by God's standards rather than following the world's lifestyles. Fifthly, dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Every one of us believers is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul told us that we need to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. The Greek verb that signifies that this is a continuous action of filling. You see, through the week, some of it leaks out. Oh, that guy just cut me off. Boy, that makes me mad. A little bit leaked out. Where are all those checkers? I'm standing here with my cart full, and there's 14 checkout booths, and there's only two open. A little more leaked out. You see, that's why he says, be filled. Be filled. Be filled. It's a constant thing. We need it every week, Steve, don't we? We need it every week. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit all the time. My grandpa used to always testify like that, filling of the Holy Spirit. Every time he testified, he always said about the filling of the Holy Spirit. I guess grandpa knew that through the week, some of it leaks out. Some of it leaks out. And you got to be refilled, 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 refilled. Be filled. That's what it says. Be filled. It's a continual process. Living in obedience, relying on him to equip, empower, strengthen, teach, and guide us each and every day. And as we depend on the Spirit, we will be and do what God desires for each and every one of us to do. Number six, giving to God and others. Giving to God and others. We have a promise in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Wow, wouldn't you like to have that kind of blessing? That's what the Bible says. Somebody asked me one time, do I tithe on my net or my gross? I simply said, do you want gross blessings or net blessings? It's real simple. It ain't rocket science. That's what the scripture says. Give, it'll be given to you. In the measure that you give is how you're going to receive. So if you don't want much, don't put much in. Hang on to it till that buffalo bleeds. Yep, if you don't want much, just hang on to it. Never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it yet, but just hang on to it. Yep, you'll receive just what you give. You won't be disappointed. Yep, I thought I was doing pretty good till I got to heaven and saw my preacher running on a roller skate. You know, Well, that can happen. That can happen. It's sad that even pastors are tight. I've noticed some pastors that aren't very giving. That's sad to me. Listen, you can have it all because I don't own any of it. When I draw my last breath, somebody else gets it. You listen to me? Somebody else is going to get it when you draw your last breath. So you see, I don't own anything. I'm just passing through. My treasures will be laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Give to God. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. We can never outgive God. But by not giving, we are claiming that we really don't need him. But we can manage on our own. Try it. See how that works out for you. Only God can predict and provide for our future needs. Lastly, forgive others. Forgiving others. Forgiveness is not always easy, but it's what our Lord commands. Ephesians 4:32. Even if somebody did you wrong and betrayed you, we must forgive them and trust God to take care of the situation. We are commanded to forgive. The Bible says, if you can't forgive the brother whom you have seen, don't expect your heavenly Father to forgive you. That's how it works. If you can't forgive others, don't expect God to forgive you. Do I need God to forgive me? You better believe it. I need him to forgive me every day because I do some really dumb things sometimes. And I probably won't stop doing it until he calls me home. But I'm sure glad he forgives me. I'm sure glad he gives me another chance because I wouldn't make it without him. He really loves me, and he loves you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for this wonderful and beautiful day. Lord, I'm sorry I can't get them pictures out of my head of this devastation that I've seen. Lord, I pray that you'll put it upon churches and people to help these people. What can we do for them? There's something we can do for them. Lord, be with these people. Be with these that's lost a loved one during this tragedy. Thank you, Lord, for this message you laid in my heart. It spoke to my heart. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you'll help me with putting these habits into use, putting them in my life and try to do better. I came up short in a lot of these habits, and I need you to help me with them. I need you to help me with them all. Help these, Lord, your people that's heard this message today. I don't think I'm the only one. I think they could use some help too. So, Lord, I ask you to help them. Help them with these good godly habits so we can live a godly life and be pleasing to you and that you can bless us. I know that you want to bless us, but it's hard for you to bless us when we're doing terrible, evil things. So help us, Lord, to see the terrible, evil things we do. And I pray, Father, that we'll stop it and that we'll seek your forgiveness. And we'll ask you, Lord, to help us do a better job. If there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll take a moment right now to just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come and live in my heart. I want to live for you from this day forward. Thank you for your word today. And if there's anyone that prayed that prayer, I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to work in their life, and I pray they'll live for you from this day forward. Thank you again for the privilege and opportunity I had to share your word today. It's time to go home. Give us a safe trip to our homes and a wonderful week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.